The purpose for her coming need not be told. The answer the king gave her need not be given. All that's important that would apply to the message this morning is this. The king of Israel had just been anointed. His mother had a request to make of him, and so she came to see him. The king rose to meet her and had another throne brought beside his. And as the king sat on his throne, he asked his mother to sit at his right hand at the place of honor. One of the most striking things about our Lord to me is what he said when he was on the cross. Our Lord was suffering all the horrors of hell, all the pains of the cross. Nobody ever suffered like our Lord suffered. And by the way, all the rivers of history poured into Calvary. And all the streams of prophecy originated at Calvary. And Calvary is the crossroads of everybody's life. The angels, since the foreordinate council, had known about it. God the Father had pointed to Calvary. Everything that Christ did was shadowed by a cross. And now Jesus is on the cross. What will he say? Oh, it seems to me he'd say something maybe like, this is the hour of hours for all the universe. Or maybe he'd say something like this. This is the time the foreordinate council planned for. Now is the time the Lamb is slain. But our Lord stops while he's on the cross and says the strangest, seemingly the most insignificant thing. Jesus, God's Son, God's eternal Son, on the cross. You know what he says? He says, hey, John, take care of Mama. John, take care of Mother. And Mother, John's going to take care of you from now on. Isn't that a strange thing? Our Lord chose on his dying day, the day that he received the suffering of Calvary, he chose to take care of his mother. Now, Solomon said, I want to give my mother the place of honor. I want my mother to have the place at my right hand. I want to honor my mother. Now, when we think of honoring mothers, we think of what you did today. We think of a flower. We think of a gift. We think of a note. Maybe, you know, how you were looking at. Maybe you have some kids right now. They made a card, and they come in, they stick it up, and say, yeah, I made it. Now, did you make that? No, I made that. And by yourself! Yeah, you take it, and there's the hug, and there's the sweet embrace. And there's the I love you, Mommy, and there's the I love you, sweetheart, and it's the most wonderful Mother's Day ever. All I had to do, such an easy day. All I had to do was get up and cook breakfast and wash dishes and clean the house and mop and wax and everything. And all I had to do was get a dozen kids ready for Sunday school and come to Sunday school and teach a class and then have the preacher holler at me for 30 minutes and then come home and prepare lunch and serve it and then wash the dishes by 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was through. Then all I had to do was pick up the newspapers your kids had thrown, get ready for church that night and come to church that night. Then a wonderful day. Such an easy day for Mother today. And it's wonderful to honor Mother that way. A flower? That's good. That she deserves the honor. A gift? That's fine. She deserves the honor. A nice card? That's good. She deserves the honor. I guess everybody knows about the kids that, you know, get Mother a card and then child, a year old or 2 years old or 3 years old, gives Mama the card, and Mama takes it, and the child wants it. That's my card. That's my card. I want the card for myself. And we don't do that when we're older. We don't act like it. We're a little nicer than we are when we're younger. But that's good. I think it's wonderful to honor Mother. But you know, these are the smallest ways to honor Mother. Solomon put a throne beside his for his mother, but Solomon's life did not honor his mother. Solomon, from that day forward, went away from God and didn't serve God and wasn't useful to God, and his life didn't honor his mother. Far better your life honor your mother than a gift given to her on Mother's Day. Far better, Solomon, for you to have served God than for you to have made a throne for your mother on your right hand. Now, I'm glad you did. That's a sweet thing, Solomon. I think it's a wonderful thing. I admire you for it. It makes a good sermon, to say the least, and it gives me a text for Mother's Day, and I'm glad you... But, Solomon, far better for you to have served the God of your fathers. That's the best way to honor your mother, Solomon. I think it's good to do the other, but these are the smallest of the gifts. How did our Lord honor his mother? Several times his mother appeared to him. One time at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, when he performed his first miracle, and the Bible says that that he said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" Oh, that doesn't seem like much of a way to honor your mother. "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" He's 12 years of age, and he's back in the temple, and he's asking questions, profound questions, of the professors. And his mother comes and says, "Your father and I have sought thee. Where have you been?" And he says, What? "Wished you not that I must be about my father's business?" That's no way to talk to your mother. That's no way to honor your mother, is it? And then again, his mother and brothers came to see him. And someone came and said, "Your mother's outside to see you. Your brother's outside to see you." And our Lord said, "Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? But those that do the will of my Father which is in heaven." Do you mean that's the way to honor your mother? Yeah, that's the way to honor your mother. Now, I think that we ought to be nice to mothers. I think we ought to give gifts, and I think we ought to give flowers, and I think we ought to give words, and I think we ought to write notes, and I think we ought to help, and I think we ought to put a seat at the right of ours and put mother at our right hand, a seat of honor. But there are far better ways to honor mother than that. There are two ways that our Lord honored his mother. In the first place, he honored his mother by doing the will of God. By doing the will of God. Listen. The best way in the world that I can honor my mother is to fulfill the purpose for my life. Back yonder, a little town called Italy, Texas, way down 50 miles south of Dallas, Texas, I was born. And and the world's never quite been the same since then. But I was born. And I was as loud then as I am now. I weighed over 11 pounds. And I didn't gain anything till I was 17, but I weighed over 11 pounds when I was born. And my mother travailed in birth. I was born at a house. We didn't have, back in those days, they want to take me to a hospital. I said, "No, I want to just stay here at home, be born here at home." And so I was born in a house, back in the bedroom. Dr. Carlisle was the doctor who delivered me. And now then, there was a purpose for that life. Now, that travail, that suffering, you ladies remember, God bless you, when you found out you were going to have a baby, and then you wanted pickles at midnight and watermelon at 3 o'clock in the morning, and terrible, and you couldn't stand up, and you couldn't sit down, and you stood up to keep them sitting down, and you sat down to keep them standing up, and you looked terrible, and you waddled when you walked, and you had an eternity dress on, and you thought you'd never. Now, some of us, we have to wear loose clothes all the time. But at least you got over yours, you know. And but you didn't feel good. And then finally the day came. And you rushed to the hospital. And your husband drove the car. And the cop stopped him. And "Where are you going, to a fire?" "No, no, no. It's my hospital here. She's going to go to the wife to have a baby, to have a wife. I mean, it's my baby here. She's going to the wife to have a hospital." He said, "I understand what it is." And he drove you the rest of the way. He'd seen nuts like you before. And he drove you the rest of the way, and then there was the travail, and then all of a sudden there was life. Now, you were that little baby. There was a purpose for that life. Every person in this room this morning, God put you here for a purpose. How can I honor my mother? I can honor my mother by doing the will of God. God has a purpose for my life. I bring reproach to my mother. I can put her on my right hand all I want to. I can put her on a throne. I can give her a flower. I can give her a gift. But those fall into oblivion as compared to the fact that she gave birth to me for a purpose. What was the purpose? That I might fulfill the will of God in my life. Don't you recall Dwight Moody, who said, and Mr. Moody heard a preacher one time preach on the world has yet to see what God can do with one person completely surrendered to God's will. Mr. Moody said in his heart, "With the grace of God, I'll be that man." And that's the way to honor your mother. Always doing the will of God. You know, I guess I'll confess something here. I guess I'm a pretty sorry everything. I travel so much and I'm so busy. I'm not much good at much anything except just to go around the country preaching and bothering everybody and making everybody mad and so forth. And I sometimes think about families that, you know, the husband goes to work at 8 o'clock and he gets off at 5 and he's home every night. And the family, you go see mama 2 or 3 times a week and so forth. And I sometimes feel sorry for my mother having to have a son and gone all the time and busy when he's home and so forth. And yet I come back to this. The best way I can honor my mother, and the best way you can honor your mother, is to do the will of God. What's the purpose for your existence? Do God's will. God put you here for a purpose. Why do it? Because he wants you to do it. Why do it? Because God needs you to do it. Why do it? The world needs you to do his will. But why do it? Honor your mother. Honor your mother by fulfilling the purpose. You know, words one day a year are not enough. A flower once a year is not enough. The best way in this world to honor Mother is to do God's will 365 days a year. John, I kid with you a great deal, but I thought about little Danny last night, and I cried a bit about it. We heard that little Danny Finley had leukemia about 5 years, really 5 years ago, and Dr. Billings, he was a sweet little boy, 4 years of age, and we saw him as he wilted away, and 4 years ago last night, remember what he asked for on the night he died? He was in the hospital, and they asked him what he wanted, and he said, "I want to see my preacher." And Brother Hand, you went with me, I think, didn't you? Not that night, but that night, and went with the hospital over at Billings Hospital, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and up, and little Danny was there, and it wasn't long till we heard little Danny was gone. Oh, listen, Danny's with Christ, and I'm glad Mrs. Finley gave birth to him. There's a purpose for his little life. I don't know all about it, but there was a purpose for it. But there's a purpose for my life, and I must find it. There's a reason why I'm here. I'm not here to make a living and work 8 hours a day and just come and go and eat and drink and marry. You're not here just to live or have a job. You know, I am so sick and tired of this motley generation that says, "Give me more money. Give me less hours. Give me better working conditions." Why doesn't somebody say, "Give me God's will"? The purpose for my existence. God, give us some decency and integrity and character once again. The biggest thing in life is not how big is the meat on my plate, and not how big is the car in my garage, and not how much money do I get an hour, and not what conditions under which I work. The will of God is the big thing. The most wretched people in this world are those who just work for a dollar, or those who just work for conditions, or those who want less hours. Tell you what, I want more hours to work. I want more time. I don't care about the salary. I'm in love with the work. I'm in love with the job. I'm in love with the will of God. And you'll never be happy in this world. You will keep on demonstrating and being wretched. Let your hair grow, that won't make you happy. Cut it off, that won't make you happy. Wear mini skirts, that won't make you happy. LSD, that won't make you happy. Marijuana, that won't make you happy. Less hours, that won't make you happy. More money, that won't make you happy. Drive a Cadillac, that won't make you happy. Trade it for a Volkswagen, that won't make you happy. There's only one way in this world to be happy. And that is to say, when I was born back under, God put that little bundle of flesh in the body of a woman, and that woman travailed and gave birth to me. There was a purpose for my being born. There was a reason for my life. And I'm going to fulfill the will of God in my life. And in so doing, I'll honor my mother, only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day. Yielded completely to Jesus alone every step of this pilgrim way. Just a bit clay in the potter's hands, ready to do what his word commands, only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day. The will of God. The will of God. That's the way I can honor my mother. That's the way you can honor yours. A seat once a year, Solomon, that's fine and that's sweet, but that's not enough. Putting her at the place of honor? Oh, don't you know they cried that day? Don't you know when the king of Israel stood up off his throne and that simple mother Bathsheba came and stood beside him? Don't you know when Solomon gave her a throne at his right hand and said to men of state, "Step aside," and said to famous warrior, "Step aside," and said to general, "Step aside," and said to prime minister, "Step aside. My mother is going to sit here." Don't you know that was a tender hour? But I'll tell you what, when years passed and Solomon's life was wrecked and ruined, then he left the will of God and married heathen women and ruined the kingdom and had a wicked son, Rehoboam, who was as vile and wicked as they come. Don't you think that little mother many times would say, "I'd trade that throne for a son in the will of God. I'd trade that honor he gave me that day at his right hand for a son that had stayed in the will of God and done the will of God." But there's something else about our Lord. Our Lord honored his mother by doing the work of God. By doing the work of God. You know, I guess it's hard for a fellow not to talk about his own kids. But last night I was thinking a bit. It was late, and I was thinking about what I was going to preach. And I said, "Oh, to honor my mother, my godly mother, who went without the new hat for 12 years or new dress for 12 years. My mother who worked for 50 cents a day and walked 2 miles to work so she wouldn't have to ride the streetcar or bus and pay the fare. And who fed me when she couldn't eat herself and clothed me when she couldn't buy clothes for herself. And cared for me when she couldn't take care of herself properly. And was a drunkard's wife and had the tough time." And I said, "I'd like to honor my mother. I'd like to put her in a seat." And I thought this morning about putting her here in the seat. putting a chair here and letting her sit here during the entire sermon. But she goes to sleep while I preach. It'd be embarrassing for her to go to sleep in front of all the people. And how can I honor my mother? How can I honor my mother? And my boy David came in. And he'd been out soul winning. And he came in. He was excited. And David, 16, he said, "Dad, we won 31 souls tonight." And he said, "Dad, I won 7. And I said, "That's it. That's it." And way in the night last night, as I was studying and preparing my own heart for the message, I thought, one day I'll be up in years. I'm a long ways from it now, if you better know. But one day I'll be up in years. And one day David will be grown, and it may be he'll be on the foreign mission field, and I won't get to see him but once every 4 or 5 years. It may be he serves the Lord as a pastor in Florida or California or a distant state, and I'll be in Hammond, and I won't get to see him very often. He won't get to make a seat for me and honor his dad with a seat. He won't get to give me a boutonniere maybe on Father's Day and be with me on Father's Day. He'll be in the distant state. And I thought this, son, you don't have to drop by. I want you to be busy. You don't have to write every day. You don't have to write every week, for that matter. I think that's good, and I want that honor. But let me say this. Let me hear, Dave, that you're a man. Let me hear that you walk straight. Let me hear that you're a real man of integrity, honesty, character, decency. Let me hear that. And you will have honored your father. Let me hear that you have the courage to stand alone. Let me hear that if the whole world goes communistic, you stay for freedom. Let me hear when the battle is raging, you're in the thick of it. Let me hear you'll not shrink, nor shirk, nor run. You're no coward, nor hippie. You're a man. Let me hear that, and I'll be an honored father. Let me hear, son, though you may not come by as often as I wish you would, and though you may not write as often as I'd like to hear, and though the postman may pass by my house, and though the phone may seldom ring, let me hear that you're a soul winner. That you won 7 today, or 31 we won today. Let me hear about it. And I'll be an honored father. Let me hear that you pay your debts on time. Let me hear that you work hard and don't run from a good hard day's work, and that sweat's not a dirty word. Let me hear that you're a preacher of the truth, and that you never waver one iota from this blessed old book, and you stand and live and die and preach it till you die. Let me hear about that. Now, I'll do without a few of the honors and the right hand and the seat and the throne and maybe the phone calls that I'd like to have or the letters I'd like to have. I'm not discounting the other, but I'm saying the honor that I want is to know that somewhere in this world there's a son of integrity and decency and honor and character and courage to defend the Bible, defend the Savior, defend his country, defend his home. And that'll be honor sufficient. I thought last night, if you can't write or come or call as often as I would, let me hear some reports as they come back to me that you've done your best in everything you've ever done, that you've loved deeply. Let me hear that you've been a man of principle. Let me hear that you've stood faithful to the Bible. Let me hear that you're willing to die for truth and right. Let me hear that you've never been proud nor cowed, never been cocky nor browbeaten. Let me hear that you've always been a man, a Christian man, a decent man, honorable man. Let me hear that, and that's all the honor I think I'll need. Oh, to honor your mother today is not just a card, though that's sweet. To honor your mother today is not just a gift, though that's sweet. To honor your mother today is not just a flower, though that's sweet. To honor your mother today is not just a note, though that's sweet. To honor your mother today is not just a long-distance phone call, though that's sweet. To honor your mother the way Jesus honored his mother is to say, "Dear mother, you gave birth to me for a purpose, and God put me here for a reason, and I'll find it, and I'll do it." And in so doing, you will have honored your mother to the highest, because you will have fulfilled the purpose of her bringing you into this world. But there's another way, as I said, the work of God also. Now, one thing we all have in common, we have a mother. You think yours is the best, and I think mine's the best. Maybe your mother's beside you today. If she is, how fortunate you are. Maybe she's in this same room today as my mother is. How blessed we are. Maybe today your mother's across the miles, and you've written her, sent a card, maybe a gift, or maybe you're going to call her this afternoon and wish her a happy Mother's Day. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. Or maybe your mother sits at the throne of God today. in the seat, honored place from others. And maybe today there's a little mound in some cemetery, and on that mound is a little piece of marble, and on that marble is engraved the name of your mother. And maybe today you'll walk to a little cemetery down a little trail, and you'll stand and place a wreath on the grave of your mother on Mother's Day. Maybe she's in heaven today. Ah, there's one thing all of us can do. We can honor our mothers. How? By doing the will of God. How? By doing the work of God. How? By fulfilling the purpose of our existence. How can you honor your mother? If you're not saved, honor her by being saved. If you do not know, listen. Wouldn't it be a tragic shame? Wouldn't it be a tragic shame for a woman to go through 9 months of torture and discomfort? And her face gets big and fat. That ain't all it gets big and fat either. And she gets bloated and she doesn't feel good. And she goes to sleep at night and she looks like Pike's Peak as she lies on her back. And she's uncomfortable and she's miserable. And then comes the time of travail and she goes in the jaws of death. And then she feeds you when you can't feed yourself, and loved you when you couldn't love yourself, and clothed you when you couldn't clothe yourself, and cared for you when you couldn't care for yourself. And she reared you, and you grew up, and you died, and you went to hell. What a tragic thing for a woman to have to do. You're not saved this morning if you don't know your name is in heaven. If you don't know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven. The best thing you can ever do to honor your mother is to walk down this aisle after a while and kneel here at this altar and let some godly deacon take a Bible and open that Bible and show you how you can be saved. And then your mother has given birth to a child for heaven and not for hell. And then if you are saved, there's a way you can honor your mother. And that is, you ought to do the will of God. You ought to get in an old-fashioned church and teach a Sunday school class, or be the music director of a department, or the president of a class, or an officer in the WMS, or have a bus route or something where you can do something for God, do the work of God, and thereby honoring your mother. Wait a minute. I see Solomon. He's just the king. Oh, how proud his mother. You see, she was the wife of the king, Bathsheba. We don't say much good about Bathsheba, but Bathsheba became a wonderful person in the days following. Bathsheba became a wonderful mother, and she was loyal to David. She was always loyal to David. So Solomon is king, and that proud mother sits out there, and they anoint him with the oil of gladness. And his mother says, "How proud I am. Oh, what a happy day it is. My boy is the king." Oh, you can imagine. You can imagine. And then she said, "Son, could I say a word to you?" And she walks up the stairs, and Solomon says, "Mother, don't stand there. Servants, move over the prime minister. Move over the men of state. Move over the commanding generals. Put a throne beside mine." And there Bathsheba has a seat, and her heart pounds with pride and joy as she has the honored seat. But that seat has long since been moved. And Bathsheba is in some lonely place. And Solomon has left the will of God. And Solomon has ruined the kingdom. Solomon has destroyed the decency of his father David. I'm sure many days Bathsheba, with a broken heart, rocked in some little lonely room and thought, "Oh, I'd rather my son have done the will of God than to have sat in that seat. Oh, I'd rather my son have done the work of God than to sit in that seat." May I say this morning, honor your mother. Honor your mother. Oh, you say, "Preacher, I did." I think, "Happy Mother's Day to you." That's good. That's always good. The off-key whang-doodling of it, it's always good. I'm for it. Oh, you say, "I did. I called a florist, and the florist said that send her a flower out. I honored my mother." That's good. You say, "I've already honored my mother. I went by her house this morning, told her she's a good mother, and took her a handkerchief." I'm glad you did. That's wonderful. But that's not the best way to honor your mother. That's a good way, but those ways fall into oblivion and obscurity when compared to the doing of the will of God and the work of God. Honor your mother. If you're not saved, honor your mother. If you have no church home this morning, honor your mother. If you've not been baptized, honor your mother. If you're not in God's will, honor your mother.
not just with a seat or a throne, not with a flower, just with a flower or a gift, but honor her with a child who's fulfilling his purpose for his life, just doing the will of God. Just doing the will of God. I thought about my mother this last week. I was in Denver, and I thought about her. And I thought, man, I guess Mother's Day, and I'm busy and got a lot to do and take off again tomorrow and so forth. But I said, dear Lord, I'm in your will. I'm in your will, and I'm in your work. And if you're not in his will and doing his work, honor your mother today. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, some of us have mothers in heaven. Some of us have mothers on earth, miles away. Some of us have mothers here this morning. But all of us have a mother. And the Bible says, honor our mothers. What better way could we honor mother today than becoming a Christian? Or becoming a Christian in the will of God?